This is The Download here on WGN, WGNradio.com. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest just put out his first mixtape in over a decade. It's called I Don't Feel Rehabilitated. And the artist, Chicago hip-hop legend, Bump J.
I did not major in business. I'm not a grad out of Howard. I pop off slabs of that powder. I run through bells of that loud. Don't mention me in your rap, boy. I don't want to battle. I'm airing you out. I run up in fan bed. I'm going to get my man. I do not air at the crowd. I put pies on the stove. I put pies on the roll. Look at my neck and my wrist. I turn some pies into gold. We them guys on the low. Riding with the pole. Live from the gold. I'ma die with the dough. Long as they keep putting eyes on the stove. This the next level. I danced the dream with the devil. I threw some bricks in the bezel. I threw some bows at a stripper. I'm with the vultures and killers. That little bitch nip chasing is not gonna bust it wide open for you, but gonna go for my new getting you faking. You know I'm strapped. They slid through this shit, fanning drums. I was blowing back. Went for the digital dash. Soon as I hit the gas, looking so long. These bows and these slabs move super fast. Lately I've been trapping off of Volvo. If I'm ever, ever out without that pole, it feel like I do not have clothes on. Never catch me naked out here faking, especially running around with all this gold on. I find out you plotting on my cake. I'm not gonna play. I pop up, stop popping that K. I send them crash dummies to crash. They out of their way. Them choppers start chopping away. Whip with the digital dash. Soon as I hit the gas, looking so long. These bows and these slabs move super fast. Lately I've been trapping off of both phones.
Bump J is probably the most famous Chicago rapper that maybe you've never heard of. Bump J, also known as Terrence Boykin, burst on the scene in 2005, and after turning heads with his music, he signed with Atlantic Records. He lined up Kanye West to produce his debut album, but after creative differences led to a split from the label, Bump J found himself down on his luck, and he made a fateful decision to rob a bank. He was caught almost a year later and sentenced to 10 years in prison. Last year, Bump J was released from prison, and just last week, he released his first mixtape in over a decade. I Don't Feel Rehabilitated features members of the famed Goon Squad, plus Chicago producers Bump J in studio. Welcome to The Download.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. This is amazing for you to get this work done. Talk about the feeling of having your first mixtape out in over a decade's time.
I guess it feels good. It's just, you know, I want to put some work out there, a body of work that, you know, my core fans will appreciate. I know music changed a lot since I've been gone, and I really want to give my core fans something that they could appreciate.
And when you say your core fans, you're talking about fans that grew up with you, that were Bump J fans from before you went to prison.
Exactly.
And who are those fans?
I mean, it's a different sound in music right now. And I think that just that it's a lot of feel music going on right now. And people don't want to sit back and listen. Attention span is real low these days. It's like, you know, if they can't feel it off the top, they turn
They're
it
gone,
from it.
Right.
So, you know, I think my core fans do like to listen as well as feel, so.
Do you think that is just the nature of listening to music on digitally now, that people may not have as much time as they had back in the day?
Yeah, it wasn't an abundance of rappers like it is right now. Like, everybody raps. When I'm in the streets, everybody run up on me. I'm a rapper. Can you do this? It wasn't like that before. It was, you know, now it's just flooded with rappers, and
right.
So the content is flooded throughout the... So I think that's what get the attention span so low. So much content is getting dropped. And before it was just more quality over quantity. Now I think it's quantity over quality.
Yeah, and I mean, early days of the internet even, I mean, you had to sign a label. You had to get on Atlantic Records.
Yeah.
You couldn't just, like today, so many different artists who are coming up in Chicago can go right to the SoundCloud and put up their stuff and automatically be able to talk to their fans.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good thing for the artists. But I think it also, like I said, it's beginning to be more quantity over quality. So I think it's kind of diluting the music also. But, you know, it's a hustle for these young guys who don't have to go to Atlantic or Def Jam, like you said. So it's good. It's a great time to be alive for artists, to be independent and, you know, be able to do their own thing. Like, I've been turning down deals left and right because I wanted to test the independent waters.
Yeah, right.
And see what I can do on my own first.
You have one of the most unbelievable stories in Chicago rap, and I'm glad to have you here because I've always wanted to talk to you about your story. Let's start before going away. Let's start when you were coming up in the early 2000s on the streets of Chicago. You were a musician, you were an artist, you were a rapper. What was happening at that time? Take us back to 2002, 2003 in Chicago when you were producing and starting out as a rapper.
I believe that the streets of Chicago kind of turned me into a rapper, because I was doing things for fun, for my guys' ears. You know, I just be, you know, I had to, I had bought some equipment just because I had money, and, you know, just wanted to play around and hear myself. And my guys was encouraging me to rap, and I just started to put things out around Chicago, and it just kind of caught a fire in Chicago. And it, they kind of turned me to a rapper everywhere I go. Oh, man, you need to put this out. You need to do this. So I started doing more and more and getting, you know, I built my crew. And sooner or later, the label started coming, and, you know.
What was your influences at the time? Because there, and I want to get into it, there are so many artists today that will point to you as their influence, whether it be Chief Keef or even some of the artists bigger than that are happening, that are bursting on the scene now. But who were your influences back in the beginning?
I think I was really influenced by a lot of East Coast music. Well, really, I listened to everything, you know, the early rap a lot of West Coast music. But I think that my influence, probably Biggie and Jay-Z, probably was my biggest influences. Like, they made me kind of want to rap the way they was putting things together.
You, of course, you know, leading up to when you started turning heads, there, you know, obviously people started to know your music, and they like you said, it kind of went viral before that was a thing.
Right.
And around, talk about the moment when you realized that things were going your way, that Atlantic Records, and even before Atlantic Records, but when you recognized that this was less of a hobby and just kind of goofing off with friends, and more
like
of
you said,
a
it wasn't a lot of, it wasn't in the internet back then. So it was, when I started going on the streets, like I was in the streets, I wasn't, you know, I was really into the bull. I was into a lot of the bull crap. So for me to be standing somewhere on the corner anywhere in Chicago and people rolling up talking about, hey, that's Bump, you know, at first it was kind of scary because, like I said, I'm out there.
Yeah, you don't want to be famous.
Yeah, and now it's like, hold on, who are you? But now they're like, no, we like your music. I knew it started going crazy like that when people that I didn't know knew me, you know. So it started going a little crazy then, cars riding past playing my music. You know, I didn't do this for that. So when it started happening, that's when I thought, like, okay, it's starting to go crazy. Everywhere I started going, even, like, the local rappers, like, it was real West Side heavy in Chicago before I started rapping. Like, you know, you had your Twistas, Crucial Conflicts, Do or Dies, all those guys, Psychodrama, and, you know, the list go on. It wasn't a lot from the South Side at all.
If there was any music that was coming out of Chicago at that time, you can point to guys like Kanye West or Common, who were bringing that kind of that conscious rap, that mm-hmm. backpack. Your style was much more street. You, as you said, as you just mentioned, you were into the bull crap.
Right.
You weren't necessarily a rapper. You had a lot going on. That music obviously comes easy to you and natural, and you're great at it, but you had other things going on.
Yes, most definitely. I was, like I said, I was in the streets. I was doing me. So
who was representing that in popular music? Because we knew that on the coast, and we obviously, as a popular American music, I mean, global at that point, had understood sort of street music coming out of Los Angeles, coming out of New York. But in Chicago, like you said, it's mostly West Side driven. But for a South Side kid who was rapping about what you were living and what you were doing, that wasn't really being represented as much in 2000.
No, I don't think it was. I think you had a lot of guys from different points of views repping it. But as we know, Chicago is kind of it's always been a gangster town. I mean, you can go back to early whenever. And you know, for someone to paint the picture of Chicago, I don't think that never was done. Like, you had, like, the West was doing it. West Side was doing it, but I don't think they was painted in the way, clearly. It was a lot of fast rap going on. Mm-hmm. And when I came and can kind of paint a picture of what's going on here in Chicago, you know, a little bit more clearer, you know, I think that was the first time that ever happened. It kind of inspired what you see going on today.
So many great philosophical conversations in music about, do you have to live the life to rap about it, to sing about it, to create art around it? And there's always this question, especially this when someone reaches the goal or reaches the heights where you're being played on MTV, or, you know, you're in every white kid's, you know, like a stereo in the car. Is this an artist or is this reality? And in your case, you were reality first. I mean, you actually lived the things that you were rapping about.
Yeah, most definitely. I think a lot of artists either saw it through someone or lived it firsthand. And I just was one of those guys that lived it firsthand. It's hard for me to rap about something that I don't know about, you know. I mean, I think that's part of being creative, but it's not in me to do. I always have to rap about what I've seen what I've seen my people go through, you know, and I just give the news with my ghetto point of view.
Bump J's in studio, the Chicago rapper. I Don't Feel Rehabilitated, the new mixtape, which is out now, as we're talking about the music and the fact that this is first mixtape in over a decade, because for most, the better part of that decade, you have been in prison.
Yeah.
You know, it's tremendous to think about your contributions, because you paved the way for a lot. And even when we got to Atlantic Records and Kanye West was on board to produce the record and you worked with him, this predates Chief Keef. This predates G Herbo. This predates the sort of Southside drill scene that had become a national phenomenon in the late 2000s or 2010 to 2015. When you think about that, do you feel like you missed it? Do you feel like that was your scene, that you created that scene, and these others are capitalizing on?
Nah, if you go look back at all the DVDs I used to do, this was my mission. I wanted to, you know, spark these guys that's right now that's doing this to know that it's a... See, people don't understand that guys where I'm from, they don't really jump into anything if they don't see any monetary gain from it. You understand? And me going to get these $1 million deals, and I'm right here from where these guys are from,
right,
it made them know
they could do it.
You know, that they can do it. So it's something that they start shooting for, you know. So I used to always preach this on the DVDs, and whenever I get to talk, I used to always preach, like, you know, we have this Chicago slang here. We don't have to talk like New York, L.A. No, we have our own thing that here that hasn't been recognized yet. So let's capitalize on
it. Do you think that's at the core, at the heart of why Chicago drill and the scene took off, that there is a Chicago sound, there is a Chicago
most
vernacular?
Yeah. Like, the whole world is talking like Chicago now because of these kids you're talking about. You know, they, all the slang and things that they're using right now, I've been using in my music, but it was just a spotlight on it, and now the whole world is talking like us instead of we talking like them. Son, B, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's definitely been a, even like the little kid that's been beefing with all our little guys, he's taking their whole style and trying to run with it. You know, he's really a fan of them, and, you know, he's taking their whole style and running with it. So,
you see that all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for you, and you have a story of living a life in Chicago and Chicago's South Side, but also a life of violence and a life of gangs and drugs and all the things that go along that many people have never seen or never would understand.
Right.
And you've been able to translate that into the music and to be able to sell it. Talk about, you know, take us back to that moment when you say bullcrap, when you say the things that you've seen. What have you seen? What can you tell an audience here at WGN that haven't seen it, that don't understand it, what it
well,
is?
Well, I left my mother's crib when I was 13 years old. I just went out there and fended for myself and really was trying to help her pay the bills. So, I mean, I've seen a lot. I joined the gang when I was 13 years old. I've been out on the streets ever since, you know, so it's nothing that I haven't seen. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah.
You know.
When you look at those days, do you feel like if you had to go back and do it again, you'd do it differently? Or is that just, that's the nature of growing up in poverty?
That was the nature. I think that I probably would have got more educated. You know, I didn't finish high school. I think I would have got more educated just so. But I wouldn't change too much anything because I'm here for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And like I said, I don't think I wouldn't have probably never rapped if I would have been more educated. And maybe Chief Keef and the rest of these guys, Herb, and all these other young guys that I respect, maybe they wouldn't have got that same spark. And, you know, the drill probably wouldn't have never been, you know, came alive.
Yeah.
So
that's
I don't know.
I think you make that argument, yeah.
I think everything happened for a reason, and I think I'm a better person for even just sitting down and doing the time I did. So, and it's bigger than music. You know, I just became a better person, period, you know. So
that, I mean, you spent in prison 9 years for robbing a bank in Oak Park.
Yeah.
For somebody in your position where there are multi-million dollar deals in front of you, and whether or not they fell apart or they're around, but they're, I mean, to live in that moment, it's hard for people to understand why you would take that risk.
Well, to tell you the truth, at the time when I did go in the bank, I had like 300 some thousand in the bank at the time. And I don't know, I never really truly made the transition from the streets to the music. I actually was looking at the music like, oh, you want to offer me $1 million? I was still in the streets. So when they said $1 million, I'm like, oh, I take that and flip that to $2-3 million. I wasn't really thinking about music. I wasn't really trying to go hard with a music career.
You were thinking about your business.
Yeah, I was really thinking about, okay, I can take that million and do something like I hit a lick on, you know. And then I got a few more million from publishing deals and other deals. And, you know, I was never really looking to be fully invested in music, you know. And when I got out the deal with Atlantic, I wasn't all the way out the deal. People thought it was just like I got out a deal, but it was a lot of business that went along with it. It took me a whole year and a half to get out that deal. So I was in limbo. I couldn't sign another deal with anybody else.
Right.
I couldn't.
You couldn't go make money.
I couldn't go,
right.
Not off music.
Right.
And it went real deep with it. Like, I had to actually, I was signed with a label that was signed to Atlantic. And the guy who owned the label, he didn't want to release me for a loan. So I couldn't put out any music and help him as far as, like, in between those times to get another deal, basically.
So if you, and using your logic in that case, you want to flip that money. You want more money. So
yeah.
You could see the armed robberies it's on the docket.
Yeah, exactly. And I had some friends that had done it successfully and getting $800,000, $600,000 out these places. So, and it was just tempting, like, you know, okay, I can go do that. So
you were arrested and plead out a year later, which is amazing to think about. But the you know, when you were in jail and in prison and reflecting on it, when the album is called I Don't Feel Rehabilitated, do you see you say to yourself, God, what was I thinking? Why would I go rob it? Why would I go for a little money when I have all this music money?
That's most definitely when you can sit down. Like, I was living a fast life, so I never got to sit down and, you know, evaluate my life until I went to prison. And when I did, I said, you damn fool. You know, what was you thinking? You had a lot of opportunity on the table, you know. So I definitely sat down and said to myself, like, if you could do this again, would you do it over? And I still came up with, yeah, I would have did the same thing.
Yeah.
But I was sitting there like, you fool.
You know, there is this pressure in society to almost validate the prison system, to say that, you know, the rehabilitation is what, you know, we want. If you go to prison for a crime, the idea is that you will be rehabilitated. You'll come out and you will be a better person for it. You will understand the error of your ways. To put out a mixtape after serving 9 years in prison that says, I don't feel rehabilitated, what message are you sending?
Well, to tell you the truth, I just feel like I'm the same person, just a little bit more calculated. I just really don't know. Like I said, everything happened for a reason. I believe I was meant to sit down, because maybe I'd have been dead. Maybe I'd have went to jail for longer, you know. So I feel like, yes, I needed that prison stint, but it didn't change me. It didn't change my thinking. It didn't change anything except for I would just feel a little bit more calculated.
For you to come out now and put this album out 9 years after the fact, to come out and be a free man and to be back in Chicago, to have the drill scene almost come and go in the way that it was a huge burst on the scene, a national story, to now so many artists in Chicago making national headlines and deals. And I asked this question earlier in the way that you feel like you missed it, but when you think of that missed decade of being in prison, do you think at all about the opportunity, like even going back to your business mind and being like, oh man, that would have been the opportunity for me to flip the millions, as you mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, it, of course it runs through my mind, like, what if, but I can't change it. So I'm not the type to dwell on anything, you know. I'm here in the present, and that's what I'm.
Well, let's talk about the present in the way that is this your career now? I mean, with the mixtape, have you changed your focus that it's?
It is. I don't need the money like I did then. So, you know, it's more, I really didn't need it then, but that's what I was focused on. So right now I'm not focused on the money. It's just really about doing something that I like to do, you know, and whatever that is. Like, I just left down there with Kanye. It was a beautiful experience. That really made me want to rap even more. Like, I was down there and I helped write on 6 of the 7
that's
songs.
That's amazing. Yeah, and that's a great, great EP too.
Yeah. And, yay. But yeah, just watching him and how passionate he is, and he don't need the money, you know. He's about to be a billionaire off these Yeezys in a couple months. It's going to come out. So to be that passionate about something that you don't need money about, it just made me a little bit more passionate about the music.
there are a lot of kids that look to you and they say, if it wasn't for Bump J, I wouldn't be in this, or I'm inspired by, and you've heard the kids that you've mentioned in the past. What does that mean to you to be 37, 38 years old now? Yeah. What does it mean to have inspired a whole generation?
I mean, it means a lot because that's what I set out to do. So when you see a mission accomplished, you know, whenever you set goals and you accomplish those goals, it always feels good.
For you to be back in Chicago, to have this mixtape come out, to have all of the attention, right? There's so much attention for you. You're getting written up. People like the work, obviously, to work with Kanye West. Does the old Bump J click in where you're like, I don't want this much attention? I mean, are the same concerns that you had when you were 23 years old or even 13 on the corner on the south side of Chicago, are they still in the back of your mind as a 37, 38-year-old rapper?
I think they just embedded back there. Like, I've never been real big on pictures, you know, just the TV thing, just the camera in your face type thing. Like, I've gotten used to it, but I've never been big on that type of stuff. All of it still feels new, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
And my final question for you, just as, you know, you kind of mentioned the beef that's happening. I forget the kid's name, but the kid that's messing with all the Chief Keefs and Chicago rappers. You know, for you, do you ever escape it? For where you came from and how you came up and even having the 9 years in prison and to get back into the music and to have all of that stuff associated with it, can you escape it?
I mean, I think it's mental. It's like, do you let somebody pull you into something meaningless, or are you strong mentally, tough enough to just say, man, get out of here, to yourself, you know? So I don't know, like, the internet, this weird to me right now, like how it's going on. It's like everybody is behind a computer typing or saying something and have an opinion on something. And, you know, you can either pay attention to that or, you know, just brush it off as nothing. And I always brush it off as nothing. I don't comment back when people say negative things. You know, I don't comment or respond back, because I come from an era where in my era, you don't say. So if you got some bad intentions, you don't do. You don't talk about it on the...
How do you avoid people like yourself who want to get up in your face or want to do instead of chat? Meaning the streets of Chicago. How do you avoid that not coming back to you? Are you always thinking about it?
I respect people, and I expect the same respect back. You know, I don't disrespect anyone. So I don't expect anyone to disrespect me. It's been a respect level for me just because of how I carry myself and, you know, my background, period. But I don't disrespect people, so I don't expect them to disrespect me. Yeah. I don't carry myself like that. I believe you give what you get. So, you know, I don't put that energy out there, and I haven't received that energy. You know,
Bump J in studio. We're talking about the new mixtape, I Don't Feel Rehabilitated, which is out now. Just got back from also working with Kanye West and the Ye album that was just put out. Bump J, pleasure to meet you, and thanks for taking some time out to talk to us about your life and the music. Appreciate
you too.
It.
Appreciate you.
He dealt me a garbage hand. I turned it into a winner.
We rocks, blows, park. I've been going hard ever since I had the colors on them low and hard. All I need is a plug. I flood, no, it's all. Them killers kill with no regard. I tell them soldiers march. Stick up game, hit a miss, trying to hit a lick. I'll tear your whole house down just to get a brick. If you don't remember nothing else, just remember this. That coke could get you famous, heroin could get you rich. I know a nigga used to take it to the table, bag it. Without a mask and glove, rushing, he had major traffic. Been dipping in the pack, putting it in his nasal passage. Damn, look like you got yourself a table habit. I see them killers been busy, better steal the streets. They won't kill for Obama, but a kill for me. They'll steal from their mama, but they steal from me. I kill a beat, the same killers gon' fill the seats.